Michigan has a handful of competitive congressional races this election cycle. Among the hot ones, congressional seats now held by Democrats Alyssa Slotkin and Haley Stevens. They both came into office 2 years ago in places previously held by Republicans. The Republican Party is notably targeting Haley Stevens' district, that's the 11th, as one they could potentially recapture. Here to tell us what's at play politically is Beth LeBlanc. She's been reporting on this race for the Detroit News. Hey, Beth, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about the district that wraps around the northern and western parts of Metro Detroit, right?
Yeah, it includes parts of Wayne and Oakland counties.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the social and political makeup of the area?
Well, you know, this district, especially in 2018, it kind of cemented it. But this has typically been considered a swing district. But the population in Oakland County, a lot of people have commented in recent years that it's becoming increasingly Democrat. So, you know, people are kind of watching in this election to see, you know, if it cements itself as a Democratic district, if it changes, and what influence that will have moving forward. You know, Trump won the district in 2016 by 5 points, but then Stevens in 2018 won by 7 points against Lena Epstein, her Republican challenger. So it definitely has a history of voting for both sides of the ballot.
Is it a question of the people who are living in the district have changed, or just that the people are the same, but they might feel a little differently about the issues this time around?
You know, it kind of depends on who you talk to. I know Brooks Patterson, when he was still around, he said that the population had changed, that folks had moved into the county with differing political views, and that's kind of what changed it.
The well-known Oakland County executive, for those who may not have followed the politics of the area.
Yes, but other people have said, you know, this is part of that suburban vote that Trump has been losing traditionally throughout the United States, or appears to be not doing as well in. So you kind of get both interpretations as to what's happening in that district.
The Republican Party has targeted Haley Stevens using a clip from a passionate floor speech that she delivered about the coronavirus.
Similar times of trying medical need, wars and flus pass. You will see darkness. You will be pushed. And our society needs you to stand together at this time. Our country loves you. To our doctors and our nurses, I wear these latex.
The gentlelady's time has expired.
What message do you think the GOP is trying to convey about Haley Stevens with this?
You know, I think they, it was a very passionate floor speech. I think they're using it to show kind of like a disconnect, or someone who doesn't keep their cool in times of crisis like we were facing in March and April. But, you know, Stevens has stuck pretty strongly behind that speech and said, look, we were facing a crisis in Michigan in particular at that time in terms of coronavirus cases. And she's told the news that she really wanted to get the point across that we had to kind of put partisanship aside and get legislation passed that would come to the aid of those cases in Michigan.
So who has the Republican primary given us as Haley Stevens' challenger this year?
So this year, Eric Isaki is challenging Stevens. He's a former nurse and lawyer who, actually, interesting enough, he kind of won his way onto the ballot in late spring when signature counts were really hard to come by for a lot of candidates because of the lockdown orders or stay home orders that were in place. And he took it to court. He won his case and was able to get on the ballot with the signatures that he had collected. And actually, his case has been used and cited by a few other people who are trying to get on the ballot, or by other like petitions that were trying to get on the ballot. So he kind of made a name for himself in that way. And, you know, he's sticking with this, too. I think he, like a lot of Republican challengers this year, are saying that there's a deadlock in Congress that he thinks he could help to resolve. You know, it's kind of selling that idea of, you know, we can't have politics as usual in D.C. anymore.
Would you say that the Democratic Party or the Republican Party needs this seat more in terms of ultimately getting a majority in the House?
I mean, definitely the Republicans are down seats in the House, so that it would probably come to their aid more. But I think both parties are equally interested in it. You know, Stevens has a huge fundraising lead on Asaki, but at this point, their cash on hand is coming up a little even in that respect. But Asaki, even though he's raised less, has had the Republican Congressional Leadership Fund come in to help put ads on TV, kind of negative ads against Stevens, like the one we talked about, her floor speech earlier this year. So definitely both parties are kind of looking at how they can dip in and help if this race is worth their time. And both seem to be interested in this race.
Hey, Beth, I think everybody in Michigan has seen the volume at which the presidential contest is playing out in Michigan. A lot of people have received many, many mailers at this point for the Senate race between Gary Peters and John James. Compared with the amount of spending and advertising that's going on, how would you rate the contest between Haley Stevens and Eric Asaki?
It's definitely a lot less than what's being spent in the presidential race or in the Senate race right now. Both candidates, I would say, are looking at how the top of the ticket will sway their race. I think Asaki in particular would really benefit from Trump doing well on the ballot. So I think in some senses, their race will depend to a certain extent on kind of the tailwinds from these other races where big money is being spent.
Beth LeBlanc is a reporter for the Detroit News. Beth, good talking to you.
Thanks. You too.